Turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians this afternoon. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. I'd like to read, verses 8 and 9. We've already looked at them. We'll end up with verse 10. For ye were sometimes darkness, that is, at one time you walked in darkness, you were darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. It's a command. You that are now in the light, our light, walk as children of light, which is to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, which is being produced in you, all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Just to mention some of the things that he produces in us. But proving. Walk as children of light. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Our point this afternoon is discerning and demonstrating what pleases the Lord, from verse 10. As verse 9, as we said, is a parenthesis. The grammatical construction would be then that verse 10 follows verse 8. Verse 9 is interjected there by the apostle as a way to describe what walking as children of light is. And so, walk as children of the light, proving. Proving. The word proving means in the Greek to try, to test, to examine. So in our passage, the believers in Christ, particularly members of the Lord's local church, as this was written to the local church at Ephesus, preserved in God's word as to all his local churches today, is that we are commanded to walk as children of light, discerning or determining and demonstrating what is acceptable to the Lord. From you that are in our Sunday school class, what is that? If we're able to discern, properly discern what pleases the Lord, and we're then demonstrate what pleases the Lord, is that not wisdom? Is that not wisdom? Yes. So we are to discern and to demonstrate what pleases the Lord. That's what the word acceptable means there. It means well-pleasing. What is well-pleasing to the Lord? I asked the question as I was studying, what's well-pleasing to the Lord? And I looked at many scriptures that tell you this and this. well-pleasing, which is well-pleasing to the Lord. This and this, which is well-pleasing to the Lord. This and this, which is well-pleasing to the Lord. But I think we have in the book of Romans, in the 12th chapter, a very good summary, very good summation of what is well-pleasing to the Lord that covers all of our walk as children of light. Notice in the 12th chapter of Romans in verse 1. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, well-pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service. Well, what does this verse say to us? What is this verse saying to us? Well, first of all, that we brethren, children of God, by the mercies of God, are to present. What do you think of when you think of presenting? Brother Ron, I'm going to present you with these documents. That's what we think of, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to present you with this birthday gift. Or this award. That's what we think, isn't it? Just keep your finger here and go back to the 6th chapter of the book of Romans. In verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Let me read that again. Neither present ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but present yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. It's the same Greek word. Yield yourselves. It means to place beside of or near to. We sing song. Near to the heart of God. Draw me nearer. Nearer. That's what we're to do. We're to draw near in our walk to God. So he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye yield, or you draw near, you place yourself beside, or place yourself near, that is your body, these physical bodies that we're in. I can't reach inside of me and grab that spirit and pull him out. But I'm to let him come walking out in this body. You say? Your bodies as living sacrifices. These physical bodies are to be a sacrifice. What does a sacrifice signify? Well, the sacrifices that were offered was something that was sacrificed, was given unto the Lord. Many times it involved death. We're to work the old man. Desires and passions are, we live with them every day. Even though we're a child of God, we live every day with them every day. You don't believe so? Just ask the Apostle Paul. He said he lived with them every day. And so we're to sacrifice the desires and passions of this body, and we're to conform them. We'll get into that in just a minute. To the image of Christ. Holy. We're to draw near to God in holiness, making these bodies, the life which we live, making these physical bodies be holy. Now, I didn't devise that. I couldn't have come up with that if I'd have tried to. But God did. What did he tell the Israelites in the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus? Well, we won't turn to Leviticus, but we'll turn to 1 Peter, which is a quotation of what he told Israel back in the Old Testament. Verse 16 of the first chapter of 1 Peter, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God expects you and I in these physical bodies which we live to present them as living sacrifices, to yield them, to place them near to God as living sacrifices. Holy. Unto him. You look at all the Old Testament offerings that were given. They were to be holy unto the Lord. And that's why if it was an animal or a bird, it was to be without spot and without blemish, and it was to be a yearling of the flock. It was holy to the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 1. Having therefore these promises. What promises? Verse 18 of the previous chapter. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Those precious promises right there. That he's our father, and we're sons and daughters unto him. We are to, because we are sons and daughters, and he's our father. We're to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. The verses preceding that, leading up to that last verse. And then he goes on in chapter 7 and verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You and I are responsible to work out our sanctification, our salvation. We are to be as lights, shining brightly, previous messages from this fifth chapter, in this world. And the only way you and I are going to do that is by our bodies being holy, being sacrifices, holy unto God. That's something, isn't it? That's awe-inspiring, isn't it? You see, you've heard me say it before. We just play around. Most of the time, we just play around at being Christians and being church members. Have we really gotten a glimpse of God? Now I know, at the day of salvation, we did. We were miserable wretches, and He was holy, and the only thing that could help me. Somewhere along the line, I think we lose sight of His holiness and what He demands of us. He demands that we, these bodies, these fleshly tabernacles that we live in, be holy. You want an example? Look to Jesus Christ. He lived in flesh and blood like you and I. He was made like unto His brethren, Hebrews chapter 2. But He was holy. He was without sin. And you and I are to be like Him. Like Him. We're to follow His example. And we're to be like Him. Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. We're being conformed. We're to be conformed to His image. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews in the 12th chapter. Verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Let me read that again. Follow peace with all men. Follow holiness with all men, without which no man shall see the Lord. You'll not see the Lord without holiness. Praise God, in my standing with God, I've been made perfectly holy. And as He looks at me, He sees His Son. He sees the righteousness of God. But He expects me in these bodies, as we read in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, He expects these bodies to be holy, yielded wholly to Him. Second Peter chapter 3. And you ought to know this chapter. Verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall be pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Oh, we believe that day's coming. We know that day's coming. We're looking for that day to come. Well, He said in verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, heavens and earth and the works of men that are in them are going to be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation, in all holy manner of life? That's the life we live now, here on this earth, is to be holy and godliness. We're to be walking in holiness and godliness with the Lord. Why? Because we're expecting the coming of the Lord. Because we're expecting a day when these heavens and these earth is going to be purged with fire, dissolved. and all the works of men are going to be burned up therein. And then a new heaven and a new earth. We talk about those things, but we don't like to talk about holy living. We have the attitude and the idea we ought to be able to go out and live any way that we please. Well, you can do that. But not if you want to be pleasing to the Lord. Amen. Don't you want to please Him who is holy and righteous and saved you? Yes. Provided His Son to pay your penalty on the cross? In your lifetime, He made that effectual in your life? Or are you content to walk in the works of darkness? Back to Romans chapter 12. Finish that verse. That's not all he said there. But you see, if we get the holy living down, you see how that covers, well, this and this is well-pleasing to the Lord. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. Holy covers it all. Yeah. Covers it all. He said then that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, well-pleasing unto God. And when you've done that, it's just your reasonable service. Right. It's just your reasonable service. You haven't done anything spectacular. Paul said he hadn't done anything spectacular. He said, I labored more abundantly than they all. And in case any of you think that's pride, that's not pride. He said, yet not I, but the grace of God. Amen. The grace of God. Which was upon me. So even when we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, and as well pleasing unto God, that's just our reasonable service. What more could you ask from us? He who died for my sins. He who sent His Son and then came to earth and died for my sins. Then verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be fashioned after this world. Don't be from this world. Don't be with this world. That's what the word means. Conformed here, the Greek in this word. It means fashioned. It means from or with the world. In other words, don't be fashioned after the world. Don't walk with the world. Don't be from the world, and don't walk with the world in it, in these things. Which is the same teaching we got from the fifth chapter, is it not? Told us not to be participants in these evil deeds, in these evil, wicked, dark deeds. But be ye transformed by the renewing. You see, there's to been a change. When He saved you, there was to been a change. We're in Christ Jesus. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. They're to have become new. Have they? Or have we held on to some things? Held on to some things that I don't know that I'm ready to give it up. What we're saying is, I don't know that my flesh is ready. Well, your flesh will never be ready to give it up. Your flesh won't give up anything. But that which is indwelling you, if you are a child of God, is leading you to give it up, to put it to death, to put it behind you, and to be a new creature. We're to be transformed. The word actually means metamorphosis. That beautiful butterfly spins a cocoon, that little caterpillar worm you see crawling around there. It's a drastic change from a butterfly to a worm, isn't it? That's how drastic a change we're to have made. We're a worm. Scripture compares us to a worm. Scripture says we're a worm. We're to be changed. We're to be beautiful in the eyes of God. Transformed, and how do we transform? Okay, we're a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Well, how do we continue this transformation in this body which is yet fleshly? By the renewing of your mind. And that word renewing is a continual process. It doesn't just happen one time. You have to continually work at it, continually renew your mind. You say, wow, I don't know how to do that. Well, I'll tell you the best way to do that, right here. If you're not in the book, you don't stand a chance of renewing your mind. And you're going to find that even being in the book is going to be hard to renew your mind. So you got to be diligent in it. You got to persist in it. By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable. There it is again. Well-pleasing and perfect will of God. What is the perfect will of God for you and I? Be perfect like He is. That's what the perfect will of God is. He wants it from us here and now in these bodies. That's why we're admonished in Romans 12:1. Right now. One day though, even in our imperfections here in these bodies, one day He's going to perfect that will in us, when we'll be perfectly holy, when we stand and behold Him face to face. Amen. Yeah, and we'll see Him as He is. Amen. For we shall be like Him. Oh, that's perfection. Amen. That'll be perfection. I talk to my mother usually at least once a week, try to at least once a week. We get to talking about that thing. And we say, you know, we can't comprehend that. We can't imagine that. We can't imagine a life with no sin, with no evil desires and evil passions. But we know it's got to be glorious. It's got to be better than what we have here. We get glimpses of it. We know that God's that. We can't really imagine. And then we say, we can only imagine. You know, we really can't imagine. But we can only imagine. Does that make sense? Am I crazy? Have I lost it? Yeah. We can't understand it, can we? Fully. We know it's going to be so, but we can't fully understand it. We are to regulate our walk. Yes, He'll work it out in us. But we're to regulate. There's a sense in which He works out our sanctification, but we are to be working. We read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. We are to be responsible. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We are responsible to do that. And when it is accomplished, it's only His grace working in us. So we're to regulate our walk, observing what is well-pleasing to the Lord. In the 14th chapter of Romans, in verse 18, he said, For he that in these things serveth Christ... You serve Christ in these things. And what things? Well, the things listed particularly in this 14th chapter, but technically in every chapter that he said to this point. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God, is well-pleasing to God and approved of men. Now, put the 14th chapter in proper context. That's talking about giving place to one another, to the weaker brother and to the stronger brothers. And if you're a weaker brother, you give place to the stronger. And if you're a stronger brother, you give place to the weaker brother. And you don't get on them and ridicule and because they don't see things the way you see it, and maybe you think you're standing better than he's standing, and well, you got to give space for him to be taught and him to come to the truth. In particular, in response to holy days, and one celebrates the day, and the other doesn't celebrate the day. And, you know, they both do it, or to do it is unto the Lord, whatever that is. And so then he says, he that serveth Christ in these things serveth Christ. In other words, you're being as Christ would be in these things. It is well pleasing unto God. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. And look with me here at verse 17. And whatsoever ye do, what's that mean? Whatsoever you do. We don't talk like that. Whatsoever. We just say whatever. Whatever you do. Whatsoever is an archaic English word. Now. But as has been brought out, the whatsoever has a deeper meaning. That is, whatever you would do, emphatic. In word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. In other words, that goes back to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, doesn't it? In word, Brother Ron, and in action. That goes back to the manner of life we live in these bodies, in these physical bodies. to all. In the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Look at verses 23 and 24. And whatsoever, there it is again, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. You say, what does heartily mean? That means with everything you got, with your whole heart. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind.
Amen.
That's what heartily means. And with a heart that loves the Lord our God with all our soul, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. But to do it pleasing the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men. That is even our service. Our service to our fellow, to our employers. We're to be working what God expects of us as a worker, as a servant. If we're the master, we're to be working as God expects masters to be, to their servants. You see, most of you know I had a secular job, had a job I loved. I was plant manager. I loved the job. I spent many hours on the job. Until the Lord called me to preach and to pastor. Then my desire was to be in the Word and to study the Word and to preach and to pastor. Lost interest in my secular job. But I still had to go to work to support my family. My heart wasn't wanting to be there. I had to come to the realization of what God expected of me. It was His providence. He provided the job because it was needful. And I was working for Him. I was working for Him. I wasn't working for Walmart. I wasn't working to please Walmart. When I came to that realization, then I was able to give my best. I was able to give my best on my job. Because I was serving the Lord. I'm not serving men. Whatever we do, even if we're a help to Brother Ron in his elderly age, or Brother France, or whoever, we're to do it as unto the Lord.
Amen.
Because that's what He expects of us as His children. That's what Jesus would do. Look at all the people that Jesus served. Setting an example for you and I. That's a walk in holiness. Verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. You'll be rewarded if you're doing it as unto the Lord and not doing it for the praise of men. You see, the Pharisees in Jesus' day, they did what they did for the praise of man.
not for the praise of